basically for a few days I was already planning on giving the shmooze that I usually give a week before Super Seder. And the shmooze usually is one that I try to, you know, gather up some fire and brimstone and get the olam excited. But today, following the combination of the loss of Rav David Soloveitchik and Rav Yitzchak Shiner, it's kind of like a gut punch for me. And took the wind out of my sails. It's not easy for me even to be here. Some of you might know I'm not the type of person that runs like to gedolim. Not that I think there's anything wrong with it. That's just not the way I do things. I have my rebbeim. I have people that I'm close with, have a relationship with, and those are the people that I really like try to, you know, spend my time with when I have time to spend with rabbanim. These two tremendous sages, tzaddikim, talmidei chachamim, that were both practically 100 years old, were both people that I had some sort of affiliation with. So that's why it's particularly difficult for me. Rav David Soloveitchik is not someone that I was close with. Happens to be I just was by him not that long ago, where there was an inyan that we were working on together. He gave us a beautiful bracha for the yeshiva. But when I was there at his house, so his Rebbetzin had said that they have a minyan in the house. He davens in his house. And there's an Aron Kodesh, the Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh. The Sefer Torah was given by my wife's grandmother. My wife's grandmother gave Rav David Soloveitchik the Sefer Torah, and it's the Sefer Torah that they use. They learned from the Sefer Torah. They were very close. So my wife's family and Rav David Soloveitchik was a very close connection. The Sefer Torah they used every single Monday and Thursday whenever they learned was her Sefer Torah. Rav David Soloveitchik was a person from a previous generation. He was a throwback. He did not live in this. Did not live in this world, Bichlal. He lived in a totally different world. He had his own set of challenges. He was orphaned at a young age from his great, illustrious father, the Brisker Rav. He never really went to yeshiva. He learnt. Briskers don't go to other yeshivas. So his father had passed away when he was relatively young. I think when he was still a bachur, if I'm not mistaken. And he learnt. He sat and he learnt and he learnt and he learnt. Rav Yitzchak Shiner was someone that I was actually quite close with. The past few years, because he wasn't well, so I didn't really interact with him, didn't want to bother him. But before that, I would even say that we were quite close. And to have to suffer his passing and his loss is quite challenging. I want to share with you, particularly about Rav Yitzchak Shiner, contrast a little bit the two gedolim. Rav Yitzchak Shiner was a person who was very, very big on Akaras HaToiv, as many Gdoilim were. Anytime he met someone that ever did him a favor, or anyone that had anything to do with something that was like, that helped him, he would always mention it and he always speak about it. I was introduced to Rav Yitzchak Shiner by a friend of mine. I was in his house and we were working on a project. And there was something about the way that he carried himself that drew me to him. And the next time I was there, I had a few minutes by myself with him, and I asked him a little bit about him, like, can you tell me a little bit about where you're from, you know, about your life? And he told me that he grew up in Pittsburgh and he went to public school through high school. He went to public school. He was graduating high school, and there was someone who was, he was a fundraiser, he was a mashulach who was going through Pittsburgh, and he was staying by the Shiner's house. They were from people, but try to imagine what was going on in America in those times. This mashulach, his name was Rabbi Bender, he's the father of Rabbi Yaakov Bender. He asked him, where are you going next year, after you're graduating high school? He said, I'm probably going to University of Pennsylvania for college. And he said to him, why don't you go to yeshiva? And Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner said, we didn't even know what it meant, a yeshiva. What does it mean, yeshiva? There's a yeshiva in America? He didn't know that it existed, a yeshiva in America. And Rav Bender was there, and he convinced his parents that they should send their son to Yeshiva University, which is YU Yeshiva, in New York. And they agreed. But you understand where he was coming from, where they didn't even have a clue there was such a thing as a yeshiva in America. He was set to go, and before he had left, there was a bus, and he was running for the bus. He slipped and fell and he broke his leg, and he couldn't go to yeshiva. 3 months he had to stay back in Pittsburgh. He said, my mother cried tears because she was watching what was happening to all the other kids in Pittsburgh. They were going off the derech. He never had a yeshiva education in his life. And my mother cried tears by Hadlokas Neris that I should be able to make it to yeshiva. He went to Yeshiva University. There in Yeshiva University, he had his first Gemara Rebbe. His name was Rav Moshe Aaron Peleyev. Rav Moshe Aaron Peleyev was my great-grandfather. So when Rav Shiner told me, I went to YU, I said to him, did you know my great-grandfather? He said, your great-grandfather was my first Gemara Rebbe. And then our relationship like moved into a whole different realm. All of a sudden, we became like close. Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner would call me on the phone and say to me, my friend, Reb Chaim Tzvi, my friend. He was more than twice my age. He's on Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah, and he'd call me, my friend, Chaim Tzvi. We're friends. I was like, friends? How could we be friends? But he used to, that's the way, because he had so much Akoras HaTorah, his first Gemara Rebbe. He was in YU, and he had breathing problems. He had issues with his lungs, and the doctor said, you should really go to the mountains. You should go for the summer to a camp. They didn't have money that they should pay for a summer camp. So my great-grandfather collected some money and sent him to a camp, which is basically to Camp Torah Vadas. He went to Camp Torah Vadas, and there he met Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. Shraga Feivel was the architect of Torah in America. And he switched to Yeshiva Torah Vadas with his Rebbe's blessing. He was in Torah Vadas. He learned under the Rebbe Shlomo Hyman. And there was also a Yid, a tremendous Rosh Hashiva, Rebbe Reuven Grozovsky. Rebbe Reuven was the son-in-law of Rebbe Baruch Ber. And Rebbe Reuven says, I think I have a shidduch for you. This is the way that Rebbe Yitzchak Shiner told me the story. This is the way I remember it, at least. The shidduch was in Eretz Yisrael. It was the granddaughter of Rav Baruch Beres, Rav Reuven's niece. The Shidduch in Eretz Yisrael. So he took a boat from America to Eretz Yisrael. If I'm not mistaken, it was 2 weeks he traveled on the boat for a Shidduch. He didn't know it was going to work out. They didn't even speak the same language. She didn't speak any Hebrew. She didn't speak any English. He didn't really speak any Hebrew. But it was a Shidduch. And he came to Eretz Yisrael. He parked himself here in Yeshivas Chevron. And eventually, after knowing enough of the language that they can converse a little bit, they went out and they got engaged and married. And Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner married this girl. He moved back to America. Eventually, after his father-in-law, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Kamenetz, passed away, he came here and became Rosh Hashiva of Kamenetz. He was one of the great members of the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. And he's a person who is extremely personable. very friendly, very easy to talk to. Anytime you went in, he right away, he would just like tell you how he's feeling. He'd tell you his thoughts. It was very easy to get close to him. And I had that opportunity time and time again. He came here to speak in yeshiva once. Didn't come up the stairs. It was because of Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner. We had a gathering in Nevat next door. There's a hall. Because we knew he wouldn't make the trek up the stairs. Sometimes I brought Bachram to his house. He lived in a two-room apartment. It was like you walk in. It was a teeny little room. Like that was the kitchen. And then there was one bedroom. And then there was his study. That was the whole thing. Teeny little rooms. That's where he lived. American boy from Pittsburgh. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner was maspid Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. And he spoke about, you know, the greatness of a gadol from America. Reb Chaim Pinchas was born in Europe. Reb Chaim Pinchas was someone that saw the Chofetz Chaim. Reb Chaim Pinchas was, you know, was brought up in greatness. Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner was from nowhere, from absolutely nowhere, and he became a gadol hador, the member of the Mwetzes Gdoli HaTorah. He spoke at the last Tziyam HaShas. But listen to what happened. Listen to the sweetness of this person. He spoke after Rabbi Yisachar Frand. Many of you know Rabbi Yisachar Frand is a very dynamic speaker. Now, Rabbi Yisachar Frand is a phenomenal speaker and a Yidah Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner is from the Ziknei Hador. He's from the Ziknei Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yisachar Frand spoke first, and he spoke very beautifully. And Rabbi Shiner said, "That was the most amazing speech I ever heard." He said, "I'm not speaking." He said it all. Rabbi Frand said it all. Now, a person who has that, he took his speech and he put it in his pocket. He said a few words, but his speech he didn't say. A person of such stature, who flew to America to speak by the Tziyam HaShas, but he was so normal. He was so regular. He said it. What do I have to speak for? What do they have to hear me for? Let them just remember what Rabbi Frantz said. Let me tell you about Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner a little bit. So I have this friend that introduced me to Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner because I didn't know originally about, you know, our connection. He was someone who was very close to him. And he one time got the courage to ask Rabbi Shiner, can you learn with me b'chavrusa? Every time he came to America, this yid happens to be, he's a very big supporter of Reb Shiner's yeshiva, and they made up that every time he comes, they're going to sit and learn together. So he told me, he's a yid of Ben Torah, I prepared sugyas, I prepared kashas, toisvis, rishonim, achroinim, I'd come in and I'd sit down with him, and right away I'm running into like, I have this shmer and that shmer. He says, hold on a second, slow down. Let's learn Gemara. He said, let's learn the Mishnah. Let's learn the Gemara. Nacham ol de Gemara. Let's learn the Rashi. Let's see what Rashi says. Let's see. So let's go over what was the Mishnah, what was the Gemara. He said, let's get clear again. Let's see it. And he said, Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner just learning the Gemara. Rashi Tosfos. Simple Gemara over and over. And then he said, okay, now tell me what you have Shver. So I realized I don't have any Shver anymore. Because when I had the clarkite in the Gemara that Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner had, I didn't have any kashas anymore. He was, as he said, just learn the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos again and again, and I get clarkite in the sugya. He was an einikol of Rav Baruch Ber, not through himself but through his wife. He became Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva Rav Baruch Ber, Kamenetz Yeshiva, Rav Baruch Ber's Yeshiva, which was in Europe. So they brought it here, his Rav Baruch Ber's son. And they opened the yeshiva here. This is one of the things that Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner would quote from Rav Baruch Ber. One time a Talmud was speaking, and he was trying to speak about how important Torah is. And he said, Torah is the air that we breathe. Torah is mamish, like the air that we breathe. And Rav Baruch Ber said, nein, no. Torah is not the air that we breathe. Torah is life itself. It's more than air. Air is something you need to live. Torah is life. It's our life. It's not something you need to live. It is life itself. And that's the legacy that Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner, he perpetuated. Torah is life. At the same time, he was a person that anytime someone left him, they felt inspired. I remember I went once with my sons, and he took pictures with my children, kissing their hands. He was such a zis, soft, gentle person. So this friend of mine that I'm telling you about, he used to bring boys that were struggling off the derech, on drugs, Mechalei Shabbos, to go meet Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner. He brought one boy to him. This boy was totally, totally off the derech. And he was a boy who was high more of the day than he wasn't. Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner said to him, "One day you are going to make me proud. You are going to make me proud." And he walked out of there with my friend, and he said, the Rosh Hashiva said, "I'm going to make him proud. I'm going to make him proud." And he kept that havtacha, that guarantee with him. To this day, Baruch Hashem, he's frum, he's married with a chosh of a family. All because he had that he felt that love from Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner that he's going to make him proud. There was another bachur who was struggling with his Yiddishkeit. He was the son of Rosh Hashiva, but he was off the derech. So my friend offered him, "Would you like to give a ride for the Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner from Brooklyn to Lakewood? And you'll drive him there, because Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner used to come to America and go from yeshiva to yeshiva to yeshiva." And he'd tell the boys, "I grew up in Pittsburgh. I come from nowhere. And still, I managed to, Baruch Hashem, to become, you know, whatever I became. You can do the same." And he would go from yeshiva to yeshiva speaking to Bachrim. So he was going from Brooklyn to Lakewood, and this off the derech son of a Rosh Hashiva was offered to give him a ride. Today he's a person that runs a kollel, gets up for nates, and Baruch Hashem has a beautiful family. What was the moment that changed his life was that drive. Just sitting there with such a soft, gentle, understanding, loving person. Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner was so normal. He was such a person that you could just feel like you could just talk to him, and he understood you. He related to you. Yeah. Rabbi Yitzchak was 98 years old. He had taken the first COVID vaccine. And contracted the disease soon afterwards. And the doctors tried very hard. They had to resuscitate him at least once. They tried to save his life. I think that his legacy for us is one that's very powerful. And if you contrast it with the legacy of Rav David Soloveitchik, they're diametrically opposed. Rav David Soloveitchik came from an extremely illustrious line. Son of the Briskerov, grandson of Rav Chaim, great-grandson of the Beis Halevi. It doesn't get more chashiv. It doesn't get more chashiv than that. At least that I can think of. On the other hand, you have Rav Yitzchak Shiner, grew up from nowhere. From Pittsburgh. His parents were good people. They didn't even know what a yeshiva was. He was 18 years old. And nothing. And what he would say when he would go walking from place to place is, you have to believe in what you can accomplish. Don't think that you're not capable, and don't think that you're not groomed for greatness just because you didn't grow up. Your last name's not Soloveitchik or Pivarsky or Finkel. He grew up very, very modest. He did not stop learning. Because if Torah is your life, it's your life. So then you never give up and you never stop. And he pushed himself. But he was normal and he was happy. He was always happy. And if a person is happy learning, he appreciates how lucky he is to be in yeshiva, how lucky he is to be in the Beis Medrash. So then he can accomplish whatever he wants. Imagine someone who was in public school till 18, became Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. He was the highest ranks of all of Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, America, England, everywhere. He was Mizikne HaRosh Yeshivas. But now he's gone. This week's parasha, it says, Vayishma Yisroi, Ma Shmua Shama Uba, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mechemes Amalek. Kriyas Yamsuf, I would say everyone heard Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was the miracle that was heard around the world. The Medrash says that all water split everywhere. Everyone heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Everyone knew about Kriyas Yamsuf. What does it mean that Yisro heard Kriyas Yamsuf? Everyone heard Kriyas Yamsuf. The pshat is mashmua shama uba. A lot of people hear things, and they just like move on with their lives. And they hear something and it startles them, but then they get back to their regular routine. By Yisro was shmua shama uba. What he heard that caused him to come forward, that caused him to stand up, that caused him to make a change, a course correction in his life. That was Yisro. Yisro was unique not in what he heard, but in what he processed and what he did with the information. A lot of people can hear things and they just move on. In next week's parasha, we speak about the person that steals. And if he steals and has no money, so then he gets a hole pierced into his ear. And Rashi says, "Oizen sheshamas al Har Sinai lo sigzol." The ear that heard in Har Sinai lo sigzol, and it went and stole. So therefore, it gets punished. Frektrub tzadik hakoyin. It's not the ear that stole; it's the hands that stole. Why are you punishing the ear? You should pierce the finger. Says Reb Tzadik, if the ear would really process properly, if you hear things, you digest them, you absorb it. You really try to understand what you're hearing. So then it would change you and you wouldn't be able to steal. You didn't hear right. Everybody see, are we hearing what's happening in our lives? What's happening in our lifetime? Are we hearing what's going on? Are we understanding what we're going through? Where we're at? Are we processing? The Svarim tell us that when a tzaddik's neshama leaves this world, so his koiches, which means what he accomplished, what he can do, is accessible, and people can tap into that. You could grab a hold of that neshama, and you could kind of like emulate it, become it, because if you want at this moment, now it's here. Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner's guf is not here anymore, but his legacy is here. It's a legacy that's for every single one of us. No one came from anywhere further away than he did. No one in this room. No one can say, I can't become the next Gadol Hadar. I can't become at least a Talmud Chacham. I can't be successful in Matzliach in Yeshiva. No one can say that. Because he proved us wrong. Kadosh Baruch Hu took from us two tremendous, tremendous, tremendous tzaddikim in one day. Rav David Soloveitchik was the purest of the Mesorah. He had a direct link to his father, to his grandfather and great-grandfather. There was something pristine about that, something that we admire, something that we look to for with admiration. But Rav Yitzchak Shiner is someone that we look to as inspiration, someone that we can emulate, someone that we need to do something, to become our own great person. As I mentioned before, you know, I have my my Rebbeim that I go to, the Rosh Hashiva, my Rebbe should be Gesund und Stark, Rav David Cohen, who I spoke to this morning about the Levaya. I didn't know that there was going to be another Levaya. But when we spoke about whether or not we should go to, you know, to such a public place, so he said that if any person is at risk of getting sick, they shouldn't go. And even if they're not concerned for themselves, but it's really not the right thing to do, especially in a public setting. But a person that's already had the virus, and is, according to what's understood by prevalent medical knowledge, is not at risk, should go to the Levaya. That's what he said this morning. I have not called him back this afternoon. Not because I don't think that there's a shaila. I think the same thing, or if not more, would apply, because Reb Yitzchok Shiner is someone that in some way, whether you know it or not, affected your life. You might not know that, but he had a tremendous impact on Torah Jewry in America. So I think it's even more so, it behooves us to show him the proper respect and to take something upon ourselves. The last public speech that possibly Reb Yitzchok Shiner made, he said, we're going through a pandemic. We learned about these things, Magefa. We've learned about them. We never even dreamed that we would live through one. And he's 100 years old. This was a very, very obviously recent. He's talking about the pandemic. He said, I'm asking everyone to take upon themselves a Kabbalah. Do something. Let's affect change. Let's make a difference. Let's not just like live through such bizarre, awesome events in history and just ignore it. Let's try to be like Yisroi. Let's try to take a step forward. Let's try to be a little bit better. Affect change in the world. Said Reb Yitzchok Shiner, take a Kabbalah on yourself. If it's not a Kabbalah, my friends, sometimes it's like momentary inspiration and you're just like a little bit better for a day or two and it fades. Think about something concrete. Every person think to himself, what is something that I can do to make myself be a little bit better, to be a little bit stronger, and hopefully in that schus. We'll be zoicha to hear Yeshuas and Refuas. There's a Rosh Hashiva. His name is Reb Eliyahu David ben Masha Levin. He's someone that many of the Rebbeim here were close with, myself included, who was just put on a respirator today, and also needs Rachamei Shamayim. There's many others that need Rachamei Shamayim. And even though we have the hope and the optimism that hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent us ways to combat this virus, but we're not out of the woods. So let's hope that Beis Hashem, in the schus of our eschazkus, Rabbi Yisrael, let's be neschazik. In that schus, we should be zoicha, umocha Hashem Elokim, dima me'al kol ponem, Hashem should wipe away all the tears from all the faces of Klal Yisrael. We should hear only Besuras Toivos, Yeshuas, and Nachamas.